plays in the ruck. Dan Houston's having a rest with that shoulder. And Riley Bonner comes back in for the match of the round against the Western Bulldogs. Another ripping game will be at the SCG, this one on Saturday. Sydney Swans taking on Collingwood, 1:45 Victorian time. And one of Sydney's assistant coaches and West Coast champion joins us on the line. Dean Cox is his name. Coxie, thanks for your time, mate.
Dane, good morning.
You had a hectic week. I'm not sure you would have experienced anything like it in your professional AFL career. You're stuck in Sydney, weren't sure you're going to get to the game. You got there, mate. Take us inside what went on.
Yeah, so obviously three of us assistants went and got a bite to eat just around the corner from our training facility, and found out 2 days later that it was one of the COVID hotspots, and it was only a casual site, but we had to get tested, which we did the night before, and then had to wait, and then the Melbourne government wouldn't let us in. So we had everything set up to go and coach from the Giants stadium after the Giants played that day, and try and commute out there, and then relay messages into the coach's box into Melbourne, and then the day after we'd come in the footy club and everything got passed off. We had about an hour to get to the airport and away we went.
Crazy times, mate. Crazy world. So were you going to be on, was it going to be via Zoom, or were you going to watch with your screens, obviously, and then communicate via Zoom or over the internet, I guess?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that the AFL were keen to do as well was to give us access to all four camera angles. So we're going to set up in a coach's box at GWS and watch the screens and then speak to someone in the coach's box. But you know, the part was as well, we had some other people there to coach as well. We didn't want to make it too many voices, but everything got passed off in the end, which was good.
I was at that game against Melbourne, highly competitive, as you have been all year, and as to be fair, as Sydney teams have been for the last 20 years. But what did Melbourne do particularly well? I mean, they're unbeaten. What was it about them, as you reviewed that game, that they're doing really well?
I think their pressure. You know, it was one of the highest pressure games for the year, and they've been doing that consistently. I think what they also do is the way that they set up behind the ball. You know, probably the difference in the end was with the key position players. That a couple of their key forwards had really big impacts on the game to kick 4 and 3 goals. And, you know, they restricted our key forwards really well. So, you know, we had 12 more inside 50s, generated one contested possession, clearances, but just couldn't get it done ahead of the ball. And, you know, that's one thing Melbourne's done all year is defend really well, and they did that again on the night.
Yeah, they certainly did that. But it's been, I mean, has the form pleasantly surprised you? Like, if you had to sit at the start of the year, the young Sydney Swans would be sitting 6 at 5-3 with a home game against Collingwood on Saturday. It's a really good position to be in. Has it surprised you how well you've competed this year?
Well, probably a couple of the early games against some really quality opposition away from home. But, you know, I think over the summer, we knew we blooded a lot of these kids sort of last year and saw some, a lot of potential in the way that they played. And, you know, tried to adapt last year a different style and what we wanted to do going forward. And I suppose we didn't get really a lot of opportunity towards the back end of the year. And, yeah, so they've come on. They train well over the summer. And, you know, some of our senior players are allowing them to play key roles in our footy team. And, you know, it's really exciting going forward. But, you know, 5-3 is great, but we need to keep winning.
And I guess the fatigue nature that comes in with particularly first-year players, but second and third as well, it's sort of hit the group. Blakey's, you know, he's been, the Lizard's been sub and he's missed out. Logan McDonald has lost his place in the side. Campbell's the same. Goulden is such a talent, but has dropped off a little bit with how much footy he's getting. How are you balancing the workload of the youth that you've got?
Yeah, I think that's probably the toughest thing to do is to, you know, do you give them games off? Do you weekends off? Do you reduce their training loads throughout the week? So I think it's a combination of all those. And, you know, it's really tough for young players to come in and play key roles. But to do it consistently at AFL level is a really tough ask for them. So, you know, our second-year players in Chad Warner as well has, you know, been inconsistent at times. But, you know, that's what you're going to get from some of these kids. And we've just got to keep giving them the opportunity to try and reduce them throughout the week and hopefully get them ready for match day that they can play their role for the footy club.
Do you foresee many changes for your lineup? Of course, that'll be named this afternoon. You don't have to tell us, but are you looking at many changes again for this game tomorrow?
Oh, there might be a couple. I think one thing you want to try and do is to steady your football team. You know, I think leading into Gold Coast as well, we've sort of had 5 and 6 changes each week, and you know, we want to make sure that we can try and consolidate our team as well as we possibly can and make as little limited changes as possible and get them playing some footy together. So that's really important. You know, there's always one or two, but nothing drastic this week.
I'm hesitant to ask about Buddy because I know you guys cop this question all the time. It's tiresome. But I saw him not make the distance from 50 and then not opt to have a shot from 50 on the junction of the 50-metre and the boundary line. I think it was in the third quarter. He would usually have a shot from his spot. Is he right? Is he still sore? Give us an update.
No, he's okay. He's good. You know, I think leading into that game, he trained, you know, for probably 10 days leading in properly. He's trained again this week fully as well. So, you know, Lance is fine. And I think, you know, Lance would be the first one to admit that he didn't perform the way he'd like to and got beaten on the night. So, you know, it doesn't happen too often. But May was really good on him. And, yeah, he'll play his role for the team. He'll be back at his firing best, hopefully, this week and for the games to come as well.
A couple of other injury updates. Great to see Naismith back. He's going to return through the VFL, so that'll help you, and particularly with Hickey, who looks a little bit banged up as well with the work that he's doing.
Yeah, so it's really good news for Sam. Well, I think, you know, to have his second knee recon, he's been through a lot on and off the field. So, you know, the boys have rallied around him. He's put a mountain of work in to get his body right, and, you know, he'll play probably a half against the Collingwood in the VFL. So really excited about that. And, yeah, you know, certainly helped Tom. He's obviously did the PCL and come back really quickly and then had to butter up against Gorn and now Grundy. But he's been really good for us. So I think when he's first got here, and he knows what he can and can't do on a football field, and he's doing a lot right at the minute.
You are the expert of all things ruckman, like one of the best we've ever seen, with all due respect. And I know you'll be humble about it, but how do you see the ruck stakes across the competition? A lot of talk about their influence often with the hit-out numbers and perhaps them being overrated. How do you see the modern ruckman?
Well, I think they vary. I think, you know, if you talk hit-out numbers, to the first probably part is the connection piece. And, you know, if you look at the really dominant centre bounce ones, which is, you know, when you're playing a 6-6-6 game at the minute, makes it really dynamic for footy teams. And Nat Nui's obviously the best at that. And then sort of Gorn with his contested marking around the ground, his intercept possessions. I think he was number 2 for Melbourne, the highest intercept team. And Grundy, what they can do around the ground with generating ball. So, you know, I think they all differ, which is really good. You know, they have their own strengths and they're playing to them at the minute. And there's no sort of certain way that every player has to play. It's what's good for the team. And there's been a few that have been doing that.
Just a word on Collingwood, back to some good form against North Melbourne last week, but it's been a tough year for them. Key players getting their hands on the footy in Moore, DeGoey, kick 6, you know, Maynard and Chris. So they got some talent in the side. Grundy's another one. How do you see them and how prepared are you for them?
We're really prepared. I think, and that's what they did last week, is to bounce back with their pressure around the ball. I think, you know, they defended really well. They defended higher and obviously some personnel changes to that with obviously Jordan spending a heap of time forward, and he's such a damaging player, and Pendlebury doing something a little bit different, and obviously Mort back to centre back at 11 intercept marks or something. So, they've got their mojo back, and you know, something we've got to be really dangerous and look out for.
When you say defending higher, explain that to the average footy fan for us.
So they're sort of in a position where they're relative to where the ball is, their defenders. Mm. So, you know, a lot of players might not necessarily be back shoulder all the time, and take some proactive positioning and, you know, try and force the oppo to kick at the spots where they can outnumber. And, you know, I think most sides certainly want to tighten the ground up as much as possible. And, you know, they got back to doing that.
Coxie, before we let you go, the biggest issue for the AFL at the moment is how well supported the clubs are and how to increase that. And do you feel under the pump? There's not a lot of coaches there at Sydney. You're asked to do the same thing for no more money. In fact, probably less. Yourself, McVeigh, Pike and Benny Matthews. Do you feel under the pump and do you need to be better supported?
Oh, I think one thing that you do all the time is, you know, when the players certainly leave, you've still got a fair bit of work to do. You know, so first of all, we're here for the players to develop them as footballers, but also as people. You know, we want to try and get to know them as close as we possibly can, so you know we can develop in all areas. And I think part of it as well is that, you know, everything you have to do, the hours are longer. There's no doubt about that, because you've still got the same amount of players with a lot less people. So, we still love what we're doing, but the weekly grind does come a little bit more.
Yeah, and I guess, does it take a toll on your family life as well? I guess that's obvious.
Yeah, it is. And, sort of the drop off and pick up from school and that sort of become a little bit tougher. And the club try to manage that as much as you possibly can. And, you know, the club's really good for that, but it still demands, what's required. So we want to make sure that we can produce the best football we possibly can as often as we can. So we'll spend the time to do that.
Good on you, mate. Hey, appreciate your time. Really do. And good luck tomorrow against the Pies.
No problem. Thanks, Kane.
What a player, and developing into a highly respected coach as well, perhaps with senior coach written all over him. The Sydney Swans taking on Collingwood. Massive game for Nathan Buckley and Collingwood, as each and everyone is when you start 1-6. Time now to get